On June 12, 1987, former President Ronald Reagan spoke in front of the Brandenburg Gate at the Berlin Wall.
在1987年6月12日，里根前总统在柏林墙的勃兰登堡门前发表了一个演讲。
In his speech, he issued a direct challenge to Mikhail Gorbachev, who was the leader of the Soviet Union.
在他的演讲中，他向前苏联的领导人米哈伊亚戈尔巴乔夫发出了一个直接的挑战。
Here are the best known words from that speech.
那个演讲中最多人所知的话是这样的。
General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
戈尔巴乔夫总书记，如果你为苏联和东欧寻求和平，寻求繁荣，寻求自由解放，那么就请你到这头门。戈尔巴乔夫先生，打开这扇门。戈尔巴乔夫先生，推倒这座墙。
On November 9, 1989, Mikhail Gorbachev did allow Berliners to destroy that wall.As soon after that, the Soviet Union collapsed.
在前苏联崩溃不久，1989年11月9日，戈尔巴乔夫的确允许柏林人拆毁这座柏林墙。
Tear down this wall.
推倒了柏林墙。
YouTube has a video of this fall of the Berlin Wall.
在 YouTube 中甚至有柏林墙倒塌的一段录像。
And long before the Berlin Wall was conceived, there was another famous wall, the Great Wall of China.
远在柏林墙建成以前，还有一座著名的墙，那就是中国的长城。
This wall was actually begun in 500 BC, and parts of it still stand.
长城始建于祖前500年，其中的一部分至今仍然屹立。
It was built and rebuilt over a time span of 1100 years in order to keep our enemies, armies from the north.
为了拦阻北方军队的城墙之围，在横跨1100年的时间，长城被修建并不断的被重建。
Building this wall was an undertaking unparalleled in human history.
建造长城实在是在人类历史上一个史无前例的大工程。
It has been estimated that somewhere in the range of 2 to 3 million Chinese died building that wall.
据估计，大约有200-300万人死于建造长城的过程中。
Since persons who died while working on it were buried beneath it, the Great Wall has been termed the largest graveyard in the world.
有修筑长城而死去的人都埋葬在长城的底下，因此长城也被称为世上最大的文产。
But it did its part.
长城的确发挥了作用。
It gave the Chinese a measure of security.
它给中国人某种程度上的安全。
But perhaps the wall was a mixed blessing.
然而长城带来的好处是的确是喜忧参半的。
At times in Chinese history, the Chinese have sought to wall themselves off not only physically, but also culturally and intellectually.From the rest of the world, and they have paid for that insulation.
在中国历史上，中国人用墙不但把自己的身体包圈在这里面， 也在文化上和科技上将自己把和其余的世界隔开。中国人为这种隔离付出了代价。
As recently as 1820, China accounted for 33% of the world's gross domestic product.
现在1820年，中国仍占世界国民生产总值的33%。
Barely 100 years later, the tables had turned.
然后渐渐100年以后，这个数字就完全变了。
China accounted for only 9% of the world's gross domestic product.
中国只占世界国民生产总值的9%。
The primary explanation for the relative eclipse of China lies in the fact that the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century, which made Europe and Asia rich, and America rich, almost completely bypassed China.
对中国国力相对衰减的主要解释是19世纪的工业化。工业化使得欧洲，然后是美洲富裕，但中国却彻底地错过了工业化。
For the first time in several thousand years, China fell behind the rest of the world.
在几千年的世界历史中，中国第一次落在了世界其他国家的发展的后面。
The famous New England poet Robert Frost wrote a poem entitled Mending Wall.
新英格兰地区著名的诗人Robert Frost 曾写了一首诗叫做补墙。
The inspiration for the poem came from a conversation he had with a friend in New England.
该诗的灵感来自于他和他新英格兰的一个朋友的一次谈话。
They were walking around the rock walls that separated his friend's property from his neighbors.In the spring.
那是一个春天，他这新英格兰的朋友正在沿着隔开他和他的邻居的这个墙上的石头上走着。
His friend will replace the rocks that had rolled off into the pasture because of the long and harsh winters.
在经过漫长严寒的冬天后，罗伯特的朋友会将那些滚落在草坪上的石头放回石墙上。
As Robert Frost walked and chatted with his friend said, "Good fences make good neighbors."
当罗伯特走进跟他的朋友聊天时，他的朋友说，好的篱笆隔离墙带来好邻居。
Later, Robert Frost wrote an imaginary answer to his friend.
后来罗伯特带着想象用下面这首诗回答了他的朋友。
Why do they make good neighbors? Isn't it where there are cows? But here, there are no cows.
为什么墙会带来好邻居呢？篱笆墙里不应该是牛吗？但在这里没有牛啊。
Before I build a wall,I would ask to know what I was walling in or walling out.
在我建造这座墙的时候，我就问自己，我把什么穿在了里面，又把什么排除在了外面呢？
And to whom I was like to give offense.
我又想冒犯谁呢？对谁生气呢？
Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down.
在这里有些东西不喜欢隔离的墙，这东西想把这墙给推翻。
Something there is that doesn't like a wall, that wants it down.
有东西不喜欢隔离墙，这东西想把这墙给推倒。
Be careful when you build a wall.
当你建造墙的时候，要小心了。
Walls can destroy as well as protect.
因为墙能带来保护，但也带来损害。
St. Paul knew all about walls.
使徒保罗对隔离的墙有深刻的了解。
In Ephesians 2:11-22, he writes,
在以弗所书二章11-22节，他写道，
You Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by the Jews, who call themselves the circumcised, which refers to what men do with their bodies.
你们生而为未当人的，要记得过去的情况。你们都那些自称是我割礼的人，就是那些在自己身上动过刀的犹太人，称你们为没有受过割礼的。
At that time, you were separated from Christ. You were foreigners and did not belong to God's chosen people. You had no part in the covenants, which were based on God's promises to his people. And you lived in this world without hope and without God.
那时候你们跟基督没有关系，是外人，不在上帝选民的行列里。你们在上帝应许给他子民的约上无份，在世上没有盼望，没有上帝。
But now in union with Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
你们这些从前远离上帝的人，现在却跟基督耶稣里结合，借着他的死已经接近上帝。
For Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated us.them and kept them enemies.
基督亲自把和平赐给我们，他使犹太人和外邦人合而为一，以自己的身体推倒那使他们互相敌对、使他们分裂的墙。
He abolished the Jewish law with its commandments and rules in order to create out of two races one new people in union with himself.In this way, making peace.
他废除了犹太法律的诫命规条，为了使两种人借着他的生命成为一种新人，得以和平相处。
By his death on the cross, Christ destroyed their enmity. By means of the cross, he united both races into one body and brought them back to God.
借着在十字架上的死，基督终止了这种敌对的形式，借着十字架使两者结为一体，得以跟上帝和好。
So Christ came and preached the good news of peace to all, to you Gentiles who were far away from God, and to Jews who were near to him.
这样基督来的目的是要传和平的福音给所有的人，包括你们这些从前远离上帝的外邦人和接近上帝的犹太人。
It is through Christ that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in one spirit into the presence of the Father.
借着基督，不管是犹太人或是外邦人，我们都能够在同一位圣灵里来到天父面前。
So then,You Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now citizens together with God's people and members of the family of God.
这样看来，你们外邦人不再是外人或陌生人，你们是上帝子民的同胞，是上帝一家的人。
You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself.
跟犹太人一样，你们也是建立在使徒和先知的基础上，而基督耶稣自己是这家的基石。
He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes you grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord.
依靠他，整座建筑得以互相连接，扩大为献给上主的圣殿。
In union with him, you two are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit.
依靠他，你们也同被建造，成为上帝借着圣灵居住的地方。
Before continuing, I want to explain Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14.
在继续讲到以前，司牧师想讲解经文第十四节。
With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them enemies.
基督以自己的身体推倒那使他们互相敌对、使他们分裂的墙。
The Greek actually says, He has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us.
在希腊文中，事实上是说，他推倒那分裂的墙，这墙就是我们之间的冤仇。
Paul is referring to a wall that stood in a temple in Jerusalem that prevented non-Jews from getting close to God.
保罗是在指在耶路撒冷圣殿中的墙，这墙阻止非犹太人接近神。
The temple consisted of a series of courts separated by walls.
圣殿有好几个院落组成，有院落之间有墙来分开。
The outer court was the court of the Gentiles.
外院是属外邦人的院子。
Inside these walls came the court of the woman.
外面的墙呢是犹太女人的院子。
After that, we discovered the walls that separate the court of the Israelite men from the woman.
然后是将犹太男人和女人分开的墙的院。
Then we have wall.Then closed the court of the priests.
再然后的墙呢是祭司的院子。
Finally, at the very center of the temple, we find the Holy of Holies, which only the high priest could enter once a year.
最后在圣殿的最核心是至圣所，唯有大祭司每年可以进去一次。
These walls represent how close each group can get to God.
所以这些墙代表了各个团体的人能够跟神亲近的距离。
Between the court of the Gentiles and the court of women was a partition made of marble.
在区隔外邦人的院子和犹太妇女的院子之间的隔离墙是用大理石做的。
On that marble wall was a sign which read,No foreigner is to enter the barrier surrounding the sanctuary.
在大理石的墙上有一个标签，这样写道：没有外邦人可以越过围绕圣所的隔离墙，进入圣所来。
He who is caught will have himself to blame for his death, which will follow.
任何外邦人进入至圣所被发现就会被随即处死，他是咎由自取。
This was a wall of discrimination, religious discrimination.
这墙是一堵歧视性的墙，宗教上的歧视。
Paul calls it a wall of a division, a wall that symbolized the hostility between races.
保罗称分裂的墙，这墙代表不同种族之间的敌意。
For Paul, the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus has broken down this major barrier of hostility.
保罗认为耶稣基督死和复活已经将这造成冤仇敌意的主要障碍给拆除了。
Apart from Romans, Ephesians is the second most majestic of Paul's letters.
除罗马书外，以弗所书是保罗书信中第二封写的壮大的书信。
And in contrast to other Pauline letters, the good news is placed within the framework of a cosmic battle in which the conflict between truth and falsehood, good and evil, light and darkness, is represented by God fighting against the spiritual powers active in this world.
与其他保罗书信相区别的是，在以弗所书中，好消息是被置于宇宙这个空中的大征战的框架之内，这征战是神和世上一切掌权的属灵力量之间的，是真理和错误、善和恶、光明和黑暗之间的征战。
These powers and principalities appear as superior to humans, and yet they are connected with the disposition of the human heart.
尽管这些执政的和掌权的力量看起来超越人类，但是他们却和人的人心相互交织在一起。
This cosmic battle is reflected in human history.
这一空中的大征战也反映在人类的历史中。
In Ephesians, the major problem in the world is the alienation and hostility between human beings.
在以弗所书中，这世界上最主要的问题是人们之间的疏远和敌意。
For Paul, human beings are alienated from each other because they are alienated from God.
对保罗而言，人们之间的疏离是因为人们都和神疏远。
In Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, they became alienated from God.
在创世纪中，当亚当和夏娃犯罪的时候，他们就跟神疏远了。
Then Cain kills his brother Abel, and human beings become alienated from each other.
然后该隐杀死了他的兄弟亚伯，导致了人与人之间的疏远。
In Ephesians, Paul expressed human alienation from God as enslavement to the cosmic forces fighting God, and is manifested in the hostility toward an alienation from fellow human beings.
在以弗所书中，保罗表明人与神之间的疏远是因为人成了与神作对的空中的力量的奴隶，人与神的疏离体现在人与人之间的敌意和疏远。
The prime example of this hostility is the division of hostility of humanity into two races, the historical competition between Jews and Gentiles.
这种敌意一个典型的例子是将人类分割成两个族群，表现在犹太人和外邦人之间的在历史上的争斗中。
The good news in Ephesians announces God's work as a reversal of this state of cosmic historical hostility.
以弗所书中宣称的好消息是神的工作将这种宇宙性空中的力量，这种造成人与人之间的敌对的状态给逆转了。
God has revealed His secret mysterious plan to reconcile all reality, bring about harmony between God and humans, and therefore establishing the possibility of unity among humans themselves.
神将他的奥秘计划显明出来，这计划就是使所有的被造都和解，通过神与人之间的和解，然后建立人与人之间的合一才成为可能。
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10 reads, God did what He has proposed to make known to us the secret plan He has already decided to complete by means of Christ, This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to unite all creation, everything in heaven and earth, with Christ as his head.
以弗所书一章九到十节这么写道，上帝完成了他的旨意，又使我们知道他已经决定要借着基督去完成的奥秘。这奥秘的计划就是在时机成熟的时候，上帝要使天上和地上一切被造的都归属基督，以他为首。
The agent of the reconciliation is the Messiah, whose death and resurrection heals the rupture between God and humanity, and eradicates the cosmic forces that have enslaved humans to captivity, and to reveal the possibility of a new way of being human, one that is not divided by hostility, but united in peace.
这一和解的因素就是弥赛亚，通过弥赛亚的死和复活，恢复了神和人之间的断层，根除了将人置于万奴之地的空中的属灵的力量，显明了人们之间相处的一种可能的一种新的方式。那
The power of this reconciliation is the same power that God has used to raise Jesus from the dead.
人与人之间相处的一种新的方式，就是人们之间不因敌意而分裂，而是因和平而联合。这和解的能力与神使基督从死里复活的能力是同一大能。
The sign of this reconciliation is the unity of Jew and Greek in the church.
这和解的记号就是教会中犹太人和希腊人之间的合一。
In the Messianic community, the one Holy Spirit gives all humans equal access to God, drawing them into a humanity that is based on the pattern of the Messiah.
在弥赛亚耶稣基督的社区里，同一圣灵给所有的人同等的权利来接近神，吸引他们加入到同属于弥赛亚的团体中。
Such is the gift of unity that creates the church.
这个合一的礼物就是创立教会的原因。
Such also, however, is the mandate of the church. If the church is to be a sign of God's reconciling power at work in the world, then it must actually manifest the unity in its life.
合一这礼物同时也是对教会的一个命令。如果教会想要成为神在世人中间和解能力的标志的话，那么在教会生活中必须彰显出合一。
The church is a place of reconciliation in the world, carrying on the process begun by the death and the resurrection of Jesus.
在这个世上，教会是一个和解的地方，和解的过程始发于耶稣的死和复活。
Those who were once separated from Christ and lived in this world without hope and without God are not foreigners or strangers any longer.
那些曾经跟基督没有关系的人，活在世上没有盼望、没有上帝的人，不再是外人或陌生人。
But they are now citizens together with God's people and members of the family of God.
他们是上帝子民的同胞，是上帝一家的人。
Therefore, Ephesians 1:23 says, "The church is Christ's body, the completion of Him who completes all things everywhere."
因此，以弗所书一章二十三节中写道，教会是基督的身体，是充满宇宙万物的那位基督所充满的有机体。
The church is therefore the central focus of Ephesians, precisely because it is, as a living community, the revelation to the world and to the cosmic powers of God's work in the world.
教会是以弗所书的中心主题，正是因为教会这样一个有机体，向世界和灵界的一切势力显明神在世上的工作。
Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 verses 3 to 6.
保罗在以弗所书三章三到六节这么写道。
God revealed his secret plan and made it known to me. And I have written briefly about this. And you will read what I have written. You can learn about my understanding of the secret of Christ.
神启示我，使我知道他的奥秘。我已经紧密地把这奥秘写下来，你们读了就会知道我对基督的奥秘所领悟的是什么。
In past times, human beings were not told this secret. But God has revealed it now by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets.
以往上帝没有向任何人显示这奥秘，现在他借着圣灵向他的圣使徒和先知启示了。
The secret is by means of the gospel. The Gentiles have a part with the Jews in God's blessings. They are members of the same body. And share in the promises that God made through Christ.
在奥秘的内容是这样的，借着福音，外邦人得以跟犹太人分享上帝的福泽，他们是同一身体的肢体，并且分享上帝借着在基督耶稣里实现了的应许。
The church therefore has both a salvific and revelatory function in and for the world.
因此在这个世界上，教会有双重的作用，一个是显示救赎的功用，另外是启示的功用。
The church is to be the place where the world can see reconciliation as a reality.
教会要的是世界能看见和解成为现实的地方。
When people in the world see the possibility for humanity based not in rivalry and enmity, but in the gift of God, which is reconciliation, they will be drawn into this community of peace.
当世上的人们看到一个团体，不是基于争斗和敌意，而是基于和解这一神给的礼物，世上的人就会被吸引加入到这一和平的团体。
The church does not exist for itself, but for the world. It offers the world both a sign and a realization of the world's own future possibilities, so that in the church, God might be glorified, that is, His presence in the world might be truly acknowledged.
教会存在的目的不是为了教会本身，而是为了这个世界。教会向世界提供一个榜样，并向世界提供实行世界将来和解的可能。因此在教会里，神被荣耀，神也就是说神在世上的存在能被世真正的认同。
In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, Paul shows Christians how to show reconciliation in their own lives.
在以弗所书四章一到六节，保罗告诫基督徒们应该怎样生活，在生活中体现出和解。
I urge you then, I, who am a prisoner because I serve the Lord, live a life that measures up to the standard set when God called you.
所以我劝你们，我是因侍奉主而成为囚徒的，你们行事为人都应该符合上帝呼召你们时所立的标准。
Always be humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another.
你们总要谦虚、温柔、忍耐，以爱心互相宽容。
Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of the peace that binds us together.
以和平彼此联络，竭力保守圣灵所赐合一的心。
There is one body and one spirit. There is one hope to which God has called you.
我们同有一位圣灵，我们都是同一个身体的肢体，正如上帝呼召你们来享有同一份盼望。
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
我们只有一位主，一个信仰，一个洗礼。
There is one God and Father of all people, who is Lord of all, works through all, is in us all.
我们只有一位上帝，就是人类的父亲，他在万有之中统御万有，贯彻万有。
James Moore, in his book, You Can Get Better or Better, claims that there is a Chinese legend where a person wanted to compareheaven and hell.
杰斯摩尔在他的一本书说你可以变得更苦读或者更好的书中讲了一个中国的一个寓言，说有一个人想比较天堂和地狱的区别。
First the man visited hell.
这个人首先去了趟地狱。
He found a placeWhere everyone was seated at a table before a wonderful feast.
他发现地狱里每一个人都坐在一个丰盛的宴席的前面。
However, their chopsticks were much longer than their arms.
然而因为他们的筷子比他们胳膊长很多。
With such chopsticks, such long chopsticks, they were unable to feed themselves.
用这么长的筷子，他们根本没有办法给自己加东西吃。
And in their selfishness, they never thought of feeding one another.
因为他们自己的自私，他们从来没有想到可以给彼此之间加东西吃。
Because everyone was so self-centered, they were miserable and hungry.
因为每个人都是如此的以自我为中心，他们都过了一种又饿又悲惨的生活。
Then the man visited heaven.
然后那个人去了趟天堂。
He found that heaven was very much like hell.
他发现天堂里看起来有点像地狱。
It also was a place where everyone seated at table before a wonderful feast.
在天堂里也是每一个人坐在丰盛的宴席前面。
And they had to use chopsticks, which were much longer than their arms.
他们也是要用比他们的胳膊长得多的筷子来吃饭。
But in contrast to hell, the people in heaven were happy and content.
但与地狱里的人截然不同的是，天堂里的人都非常高兴和满足。
And this was because they were self-giving.
因为他们都是给予者。
They fed each other.
他们给对方喂食物。
By and large, hell is a process by which we lose ourselves to serve and to save ourselves.
总而言之，地狱是一个我们因为努力为自己服务、努力拯救自己而失去自我的过程。
Heaven is a lifestyle by which we give ourselves away in service to Christ.
天堂是我们在服侍基督的过程中，我们改出自我的生活方式。
In the process of loving and living, we escape judgment and find reconciliation.
在相爱的生活过程中，我们免受了审判，并达成了和解。
In the first three Gospels, Jesus often uses the term Kingdom of God.
在前三本福音书中，耶稣常常使用神的国这一个术语。
Scholars believe that the better translation is the reign of God.
很多学者认为更好的翻译应该是神掌权。
Heaven is not a physical place.
天堂不是一个具体存在的地方。
Heaven exists whenever an individual allows God to reign or to rule over his or her life.
天堂存在在每一个人的身上，只要当这个人允许神在他的生命中掌完全居首位。
In the Gospel of John, John uses the term eternal life rather than kingdom of God.
在约翰福音中，使徒约翰使用永生而不是神的国这一说法。
Eternal life for John is a quality of life which we can enjoy with our living Lord here and now. A quality of life which cannot be ended even by death.
对使徒约翰而言，永生是我们可以在此时此地就可以享受的那永活主的生活的方生活的质量。这种生活的质量是不能被死亡所消灭的。
William Barclay, in his The Letters to Galatians and Ephesians, tells the story that during World War II, some soldiers brought the body of a slain comrade in arms to a French cemetery for burial.
William Barclay 在给加拉太书和以弗所书的书信中讲了一个发生在二战中的一个故事。发生在二战中的故事。
In the story, some people brought the body of a slain comrade in arms to a French cemetery for burial.
一些士兵把一个被杀害的他们的战友的尸体带到一个法国人的墓地前，想要埋葬，在那里埋葬他。
The priest told them that it was a Roman Catholic cemetery, and asked if their friend had been baptized as a member of the Roman Catholic Church.
牧师就告诉他们说，这是一个罗马天主教的墓地，并问他们这位战友是否被罗马天主教的会员施洗过。
They did not know.
他们的战友们都不知道。
The priest said he was very sorry, but he could not permit the burial in the cemetery.
那牧师就说他非常遗憾，他不能同意将那他们的战友站在这一片墓地。
So the soldiers sadly buried their friend just outside the fence of the graveyard.
因此士兵们就很难过了，将他的朋友站在了那片墓地隔离墙的外边。
The next day they came back to look at the grave.
第二天他们回来看这坟墓的时候，
But they could not find it.
他们找不到那片墓地。
They knew that it was only 6 feet from the fence of the cemetery, but they could not find the freshly dug soil.
他们找不到那片那个坟墓，因为他们清楚知道这坟墓只离那个墓地的篱笆墙只有6英尺之外。
As they were leaving in bewilderment, the priest came out to talk with them.
尽管只有6英尺之外，他们就是不能找到有挖掘的痕迹。正当他们带着疑惑不解想要离开的时候，那个牧师出来跟他们谈话。
He told them that he had been troubled all night by his refusal to allow their friend to bury in the churchyard.
牧师告诉他们说，他拒绝将他们的朋友葬在这个教会的墓地，他为这次整个晚上都非常困扰不安。
So he said early that morning he had risen, and with his own hands he had moved the fence to include the body of their friend.
因此第二天一大早他就起来亲手将那墓地的篱笆墙挪开，挪到了把那个朋友他们的朋友的坟墓包括在围墙的里面。
It is only a story.
这只是一个故事。
It is also our charge from the Christ we call Lord for this new year.
这是我们的主基督在这新的一年里对我们的挑战。
We need to move fences.
那就是来移动这个隔离的墙。
We need to tear down walls.
拆翻隔离的墙。
We need to destroy the walls of division.
拆毁分裂隔离的墙。
We need to get rid of all our hatred and hostility.
消除所有的仇恨和敌意。
And we need to be reconciled in Christ.
在基督里和好。
Amen.
Amen.